Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Feels like it's been a minute since we did a toy department, but that's not really true, is it?
No, I mean, I think it was a week ago today. I guess it was a slightly abbreviated episode.
Oh, that's probably what it is. Maybe because there's just so much to cover this week that it feels like we didn't do one last week.
Well, also, we're toy department after dark, so, you know.
Yes, and I'm working on about 3 hours of sleep, so I'm not responsible for anything I'm going to say in this hour.
Interesting. I mean, disagree, but fair enough.
All right, fair enough.
I'm certainly not responsible for whatever the hell you say.
Yeah, no, I'm holding you entirely responsible. Would you like to start with just kind of the stuff that we left from last week? Because there's a fair amount of that.
Yes.
All right. How about Brittany Runs a Marathon now streaming on Amazon?
Yeah. So when we first assigned this 2 weeks ago, I thought it was new, and it is not, which is fine. But
it's like that Amazon thing, right? That's like kind of like Late Night was, where like it played in theaters for a minute, and then they.
Oh man!
But not very many, and then they put it up on streaming.
I guess so. A thing I learned today is that Late Night played in theaters. So,
yeah, like you know, it's the thing. All these things do so they can.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Irishman was in theaters too, but I knew about that. I didn't know about these other ones that I can remember. Last week, you had already seen Queen and Slim, and you said that we had yet to talk about your favorite movie that you had watched. I assume it was not this one.
It was not this one, but I enjoyed this one quite a bit.
Yeah, so here's what I would say about this one. I did. That probably sounded like I was insulting this movie, which was not my intention. I shouldn't have said it with that tone, because the question I was really asking was it this one? Because it almost could have been. I assumed it wasn't, but it almost could have been. This movie was not really the movie I thought it was going to be. And I have to say, I think it was quite good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that there are a lot of versions of this film that would be, like, cheesy and manipulative.
Or worse, moderately offensive.
It could be that, yeah. And I felt like Brittany Runs a Marathon was, like, really grounded and authentic. And,
yes.
And I also thought it was just kind of interesting. Like, you don't see a lot of movies that are essentially about growth, like just about personal growth and trying to like be a better person in the world.
Yeah, and I also don't think, and this is delicate, but I don't think you see a lot of movies that are sincerely about like what an overweight person really deals with and how they might choose to turn their life around in some way. Or change their life in some way. I shouldn't say turn around. Like it so easily could have been cheap jokes, and there certainly are fat jokes in this movie, but it just was handled in a way that... it's not even that it was PC or something, it just felt really real.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did.
And
it
I
really
was
did.
Super impressed, and now I'm blanking on her name, even though I've looked it up 3 times. Is it Jane something? Who's the lead?
Jillian
Bell.
Yes,
I thought she was spectacular.
Agreed. You know, she's a person that you just think of as really comedically broad, and she plays a lot of that stuff down.
And I think that contributed to why maybe I expected a more, like a sillier movie that I've seen before. You know. And even that movie can be pretty good, and not offensive. It's possible to make that movie. But I was not expecting it to be really heartfelt and thoughtful and real seeming. She really seemed like a real person.
And we say all that, and I would say that in addition to being all those things, which I think are accurate, you know, when you say that, it sort of feels like it's kind of like this, like, touchy-feely, hit all the right notes, but maybe not all that fun. But the movie's, like, breezy and funny as well,
yeah,
you know?
Really fun. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is, it's not like a, do we do a 4 or 5 star scale? I forget. But it's not like the max stars. I mean, it's very straightforward and simple. It's not, there's nothing spectacular necessarily, other than I would say her performance was really great. But it's just like really well written and true to life and real seeming and enjoyable.
Yeah. And I thought, there are a lot of really good supporting performances. I'm going to butcher this name, but Utkarsh Ambekar,
yeah,
who plays the, I guess, love interest, I guess would be the way that you'd say
uh-huh,
that.
Sure.
A little more complicated than that. And Michaela Watkins, who, like, kind of seems like she's good in everything now, I thought was really good in this as well.
It's funny, you know, they play a couple, Gillian Bell and Michaela Watkins play a couple in a movie that I saw part of on a plane that I really want to finish called Sword of Trust with Marc Maron.
Oh, yeah, I would watch that.
Yeah, I don't think it's available to us yet.
Just have to get on another plane. What airline did you find it on?
That's a good question.
Yeah, all right, you can keep thinking about it.
It was American?
Yeah, I don't really fly that one, so I might be out of luck.
Yeah, that's tough.
Do you watch a lot of plane movies? Usually I'm bringing my own stuff now. You know, I just download.
Well, me too, but this happened to be one of those planes that had, like, a personal seat and a ton of movies. And I don't know. They were movies. And that was a movie I had already had interest in seeing anyway, you know?
Yeah. Just like Delta, man. I had a plane with personal seat and a bunch of movies on the way to Chicago, which is like a 48-minute flight.
Well, that doesn't do you any good. There's no time to watch those movies.
That's correct.
How was Chicago, by the way? We're seamlessly moving from Brittany Runs a Marathon to your trip to my hometown to see music.
I was there. I was there for less than 24 hours. So I kind of breezed in, had a great dinner, went to the Aragon, and now I'm back.
Oh, the Aragon's a good place.
Notice I didn't say sleep anywhere in there because.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you may not totally remember what happened between the Aragon and arriving back in Minnesota.
That is correct. There was a lot of kindness of strangers giving me back things that I left drunkenly somewhere.
That's good. Because if you leave town, the last thing you want to do is leave stuff places drunkenly. You know, in your own town, you can figure that out.
Yeah. But you're never getting it back anywhere else. No. But the other nice thing is that when you live in Minneapolis, it was actually 20 degrees warmer in Chicago.
Right.
So I usually go to Chicago and you're like, oh, God, I got to be ready for the cold.
Yeah. Well, you now have to be ready for the cold at all times.
Yeah. So this won't mean anything to you, but I actually saw one of the places or a couple of the places where they shoot exteriors for Shameless, which made me really happy. All the South Side things are on the North Side, though, in real life, apparently.
Oh, I'm sure they don't go to the
South Side. You don't watch Shameless,
South
right?
Side.
Like, I think we've talked about this.
No, my father loves Shameless.
As does mine. So, yeah, it might be the official show of Dad's.
Well, I should probably start getting into it then.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to what was my favorite movie of last week, I guess, at this point. Queen and Slim.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, look, this is very much in our wheelhouse as a movie. You know, we're Lena Waithe fans to begin with. And I think the second we heard about this was like, oh yeah, we're gonna get to see this. But I really thought the marrying of this kind of Bonnie and Clyde story with police brutality was a really interesting concept.
That and I mean, unflinching is the word that comes to mind.
Yeah.
And by the way, go ahead.
Do you know the origin story of that concept? Because I did not until I saw it in the credits and then heard a little bit more about it.
The Bonnie and Clyde concept?
Yeah, or like just the story of this movie, like how they the outline of the story of this movie.
I do not.
I don't know if you saw in the credits, but it was James Fry has a bunch of credits. The guy from that guy that wrote A Million Little Pieces.
No kidding.
And was like the Oprah scandal guy or whatever. Yeah. So apparently he was at a party with Lena Waithe and was like, expressed this idea of a date that goes sort of horribly wrong and ends in this sort of violence, and then they have to go on the run, and that they sketched out the movie from there together. So
I mean, it's a great idea. It's a great idea. Even without the police brutality part of it, let me rephrase. Even without the racial element, just the concept is phenomenal. Because everyone's been on a date, and you know, pretty much none of them have ended that way. But like, it's you. It really forces you to ask yourself what you'd do. And
yeah.
And because you start in that place, I think you kind of stay in that place, you know. And each step of the way, is this too far? Would I have gone there? Is there, what else could they do? And obviously, you know, the fact that it is also a statement about so at the risk of pulling an I Have Black Friends here, like, I think, you know, am certainly well aware of the situation, and certainly having grown up around lots of people of color and being friends with them, and just through the course of normal friend conversations, I have been made aware of the level of fear and the concern that can go into any police interaction, right? Like, yeah. This is something I'm extremely familiar with as a concept. And I think that whole sequence in this movie made me feel emotionally and, like, viscerally some small version of that far more than I ever have in my entire life.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the idea that, you know, you can, for any person of color, that you could be, it doesn't really matter, you know, what you've done in your life and what path that you're on. You know, if the world right. sees you as a certain way, it's not too hard to sort of slip into, you know, into this sort of pit of despair. Yeah. And it's, yeah, I mean,
and like
that part of it is chilling.
Yeah, when you're like, you're sort of just in the car with them very casually, and it's a normal sort of post-date conversation for the most part, and yeah. There are these two very relatable people that, like, it's like, yeah, I could, I've probably had a version of that conversation, right?
Yeah.
And then the cop lights, and all of a sudden, it becomes a totally different thing, and, like, just the way it was shot, I really... You know, you mentioned we came in as Lena Waithe fans and had a feeling it would be up our alley content-wise, but that doesn't guarantee it's going to be, A, it's going to be a good movie, or B, it's going to be as, like, beautiful and
lush.
This is just one of those movies where, yeah. like, you feel like you're going to start sweating when they're sweating. Like, it just, like, yeah. you feel, it really pulls you in. I just thought, and I mean, this, it's difficult to watch at a lot of points, and yeah. and you know, for a movie with very little action or like, I don't know, it's not like a thriller in any way, but there's an incredible amount of tension and like fear
Yeah. The you know, Ivan was his first time director. And so this is an argument for, like, you know, forget the representation, although that is a big part of this movie. But, like, just this is an argument for giving more shots to women, because I feel like there is a very feminine quality about the direction, but it is awesome. And you mentioned, like, there's not necessarily a lot of violence in this movie, but every single moment of gunplay, and there are a few, are super impactful. And a couple of them literally made me jump out of my seat.
Absolutely.
You know, it played a lot of the right notes. Also, the music is fantastic.
Phenomenal. And I
was going to say too, there are also a lot of really interesting, uses of musicians as actors.
Yes.
Throughout the movie as well.
Yep. And also just some really good actors you haven't seen, but Flea in particular, I've never seen him really act. I don't think. I mean, I've seen him.
You probably have seen him act because he's been in a fair amount of things, but he usually plays guys that you can really tell right away.
No,
or Flea.
But that's what I was. Yeah, you didn't let me finish. I've seen him in lots of movies, but I'm not sure I've ever seen him play a part so that was so much like that's an actor playing a part. I've seen him be like a version of Flea in The Big Lebowski and various other films. But this was really just he played a very specific and certainly against type part, and I thought was really good.
Did you notice? I didn't notice until the credits.
Sturgill Simpson.
Sturgill Simpson is the cop in the beginning. Yeah.
I also did not notice until the credits. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like, wow.
And so, I mean, look, this. There, what I was going to add to the representation thing you were saying, or not representation, the giving women a chance thing is, and not to disagree with what you're saying at all, but I think this is also just, whether it's women, people of color, young people, like more voices, new voices, more different stuff. Because...
Yeah, and not because these people should get a turn, but because they have something to contribute to the conversation.
Yes,
you know?
because everyone might come up with something that otherwise we might not get. I mean, that's what it's about, right? Like, that's what art is supposed to be about, is pushing boundaries and giving you new and interesting views of the world and of stories and... I mean, that's what this is supposed to be for, I think, really.
Yep, 100%. And you know what? You know, not to go back to shitting on The Irishman, but to me, this is, you want to talk about an effective meditation on mortality.
Yeah.
This is it. Not a short movie either, by the way. Nope. Like,
but
and
gripping,
yet, riveting.
Yeah.
And
also not a movie that's less talky than The Irishman, really. It's a very like, if you look straight, I mean, it doesn't feel that way necessarily, but if you look at it at face value, this is a very conversation-based film.
It's languid in a lot of ways. Like, there's a lot of sort of like longing looks at like the, you know, countryside in the American South and things like that. You know what I mean? But
well,
it never feels wasteful.
No, it feels like a hot, humid day.
Yeah.
But you're right. Never wasteful.
Yeah. No, big fan. And I hope more people see it, you know?
Yeah, me too. And I really like so many pieces of art of its ilk, I wish the people who don't get it would see it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so powerful. You know, it probably wouldn't hit home anyway.
I was going to say, I'd worry the people who don't get it would maybe take the wrong thing away from it.
Yeah, you're probably right, but it's just I just thought it was really, I mean, let's face it, none of those people were listening to this podcast, and I thought it was a moving piece of movie art. I was really impressed.
Were you familiar with Jodie Turner Smith?
Not at all.
I was not either, and I thought she was really fantastic.
I'm not sure she's really done anything before this. She looked like a model. I don't know if she's a, but yeah. she moved like a model.
She is a British model. There we should go. Have guessed that.
Yeah, but no, she yeah, was. I mean, but you know, not to now rob any credit from the lead female actor of this movie, but I almost feel like it was half casting.
Yeah.
Not that she's, I mean, she's totally convincing. I'm not, this is, again, it's not a shot at her at all, but she's extremely well cast. And, like, so much of that character was pulling off the look of it, I think, and the yeah. change in look. And really, Daniel Kaluuya, I mean.
He's always great, though. You know
he
what
is
I mean?
Always great, but always it great. He's to me, he's getting to that. Like, what can't that guy do?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I just fell into a Wikipedia hole on Jodie Turner Smith while we were. It's a short Wikipedia hole because the page is short. But she's going out with Pacey.
Josh Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, like congratulations to them both. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't see that coming. All right.
is he like a longtime bachelor guy?
I don't know. I knew very little about his love life.
Yeah, thankfully this is not something I've spent a lot of time thinking about, but the main thought I had when you gave me that information was I'm not sure I've ever been aware of Joshua Jackson's love life in any capacity.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Just I wouldn't have expected that out of him.
Diane Kruger. He had a partner for 10 years.
Oh, really? Well, look at him.
A German American actress named
Diane
Kruger.
Yeah, she was the stars. She was in a Tarantino movie, and then she was the star of The Bridge. Did we talk about The Bridge on the spot, or was that?
You mentioned it. I never watched it. Fun fact. She went directly from Josh Jackson to Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're together now. She's a very beautiful woman.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. I am actually quite curious because you texted me the other night about asking me if I had watched The L Word. And because I hadn't, I didn't want to ask. And I didn't know if that was a like, well, maybe I can get out of watching it this week sort of text. Or God, this is awful text. But now I'm dying to know what you thought of the L Word. I should say the L Word Generation Q.
Yeah, I mean,
not the best name.
I think it in that way it's fitting because it is not the best show. It's probably not the worst show, but it's much closer to that.
Fair enough. I definitely think I liked this more than you did.
I think there must be some level of in joke with some of the stuff.
Because certainly, and there's certainly, at least for me, there was definitely some nostalgia, fan service happening there.
Yeah. Well, okay.
For sure. And it was never the best show. Like it's it's pretty soapy. You know what I mean?
I get it. But this was not just soapy. This was also confused about whether it's a serious drama about, gay women making it in the world and the challenges they might face, or a pornier Sex in the City.
Yeah. Well, it definitely, and Sex in the City is an interesting comparison because there has always been this sort of, like, aspirational quality to the L Word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these women were, they're always really like incredibly fabulous. You know what I mean? And
well, fabulous and successful and yet somehow hanging out over glasses of wine all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's very dumb in that way. And it's also extremely overwrought and overdramatic.
Yeah, that's like the thing is that, you know, not that the original show, obviously, they tackled some serious stuff. You're going to do a show like this, you're going to tackle some issues that I think are important to that community.
Right.
And, but, you know, we're certainly the first show to have like a transgender character, at least I think the first show. and you know, things like that. But this version, like trying to craft that more, some of the more serious things while still sort of maintaining the soapy plotting and pacing, you know, like it's a lot. And you know, like just the arc of Jennifer Beals, you know, character and running for mayor and the stuff that happens to her in this episode, which I should say was pretty piloty. But it's a lot.
It's way too much. I mean, yeah. It's way too much.
You know.
And like, honestly, as ridiculous as this might sound for someone who didn't watch the original, I think I would have preferred more of a pure fan service welcome back than what we got.
Yeah, like a little more interpersonal drama, I think would have been I think would have been appreciated. Like, you know, just the like, how do you sleep at night? You know,
I mean, come on,
like it's like people don't talk like that.
No, no. I mean, this melodrama is the word. This was insanely melodramatic, as far as I'm concerned, and I like melodrama, so that is saying something.
Yeah, that said, by the way, I will continue to watch this, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that was particularly good.
No, and like this is me getting out while I can, because I'm sure I could get sucked into this nonsense, but it's not how I want to spend my time.
Yeah, it's, you know what, that's what I would say. It's pleasant nonsense. And it's stories about people that you don't get to see stories about on TV all the time, even if they're probably people who don't necessarily exist in real life.
Yeah.
And I did like at least that some people on this show are struggling, which I
one, you know, person
sort of always a thing. Yeah, you're right. It's really only one or two people.
one person, and I
and they all get rich houses to crash in anyway.
Exactly,
like, so.
And I really do like her, by the way. The she's from Easy. The one young lady who's struggling is the girl, one of the girlfriends from Easy.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I was like, she looks familiar, and I couldn't place it. I'm glad that you brought that in there.
Yeah, and I really like that actress. I thought she was fun, but like when one sort of fun character is by far the best thing I have to say, I got to get out while I can.
I kind of thought the other one of the other new characters, the woman who like knows Kamala Harris,
the writer.
I thought she was a fun character.
Yeah, she was cool too. I mean, again, like it's. The characters aren't terrible. It's just like all a little bit over the top for me.
You're watching the show, this is your very first exposure to the L Word, and literally just right out of the box, it's sex scene. What were you thinking?
I was not surprised. Like I was expecting something in the vein of Sex and the City. And again, if it had been more just like in the bedroom and the wine room, I think I would have been able to handle it a little better.
Yeah,
but the like over the top melodrama about pharmaceuticals and mayoral candidates and adultery was just like, okay, calm down.
The bet parenting challenges.
Yeah,
not the best. But you know what? I'm still here for it. I'm not asking any of you to be here for it, but I'll be watching. I'll give you an update.
Okay, or don't. Either way.
Speaking of shows that need an update, let's talk briefly about The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Season 3. You watched two episodes of this, right?
Yes.
I think I eventually got to a third.
Wow. Look at you.
But I gotta say, like, I mean, look, I'm not... I still like the show, and I'm gonna finish the season. It's only 8 episodes anyway. And I, you know, I'm not saying I'm ready to bail. It seems like, you know, it's having some of the problems that, you know, a show in its third or fourth season might have, you know, where you sort of know what it is, you know, you're used to the banter.
Yes.
And it's, you know, It's so that's not necessarily as thrilling. It's nice to spend time with some of these characters, but maybe right. some of the focus is in some of the wrong places, you know?
It's not
as a lot of the parents in this season, it feels like.
Yeah, it is not as thrilling. I still find it I still get a lot of mileage out of the patter and the silliness. But you're right. I mean, this is a show that hasn't changed all that much. Even as the circumstances of the characters have changed rather significantly, it feels very much like the same show. And I don't know how much runway you have with that.
Yeah, and I feel like, you
know... That being said, I'm enjoying
it. Going out on tour should, like... That should be, you know... I don't know. Feels like it should open up some more things.
Well, yeah, I haven't really gotten to that yet, because she is just about to leave at the end of the second episode. Or just has left, I guess. But...
Yeah, you saw the USO episode, right?
Right, that's the first episode.
That's not necessarily the tour.
Right.
But, you know, she's out doing stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is if episodes 3 through 8 get into more of the tour and start to get into some different things, then maybe there's more here. But otherwise, maybe this is about it.
Yeah. It feels like a little bit diminishing returns.
That's, yes, but you know. But I do want to be clear, because I still very much enjoy it.
Yeah. I think, I don't want to... You know, it's a couple episodes, so I'm not going to bury the show. I think you enjoyed these couple of episodes more than I did. But like I said, I'm still into it enough that I'll be sticking with it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's still a well-written show. And Alex Borstein is still great. And, Rachel Brosnahan is still great.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be just handing her the Emmy again, but
maybe not. But she's really a delight.
Yeah, yeah, and that hasn't changed.
And Tony Shalhoub is delightful as well, even if it's not clear why we need to learn more about his life.
Yeah, we could be a little bit more sparing with the Tony Shalhoub.
I mean, I agree, but I really get a kick out of him. Like,
yeah.
So you know.
Do you think he and Stanley Tucci are tired of going for the same parts all the time?
Probably. They were so good together in Big Night.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then last, we wanted you, before, you know, of course, we're going to talk some challenge.
Of course.
Before we do that, Mrs. Fletcher wrapped up on HBO over the weekend. And I would say came to its pretty natural conclusion.
I guess.
Yeah. When I first heard it was ending and that it was ending, I was kind of like, but you know what? By the end of it, I was like, this sort of feels right as a limited series, I feel like.
I'm going to disagree with you. My understanding is that it's not 100% over.
Okay.
Like the door is still vaguely open. They promoted it as a limited series, but they have considered making more.
I mean, look, I think you here's certainly my could. Thing.
What?
I think you certainly could. Like I said, I don't know that. Then I think you might start to get diminishing returns. Like I feel like there's
really.
A complete
I felt like
here.
This was half a season.
Yeah?
Well, I just think the first 3 episodes could have been 1 episode. And, you know, like, you don't want to see the fallout?
No, I don't. Right. I don't think the fight
spoil.
That they're
going to
have.
We're going to have to spoil this, because I think the first thing is, the end, like you, when you turn on the season or series finale, within a minute, you know how it ends.
Yeah, that's correct. Like,
like it's obvious where this is heading.
Yeah.
Like the minute the pieces are sort of put in motion, you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Did you have a don't open the door?
Like, yeah, kind of. But again,
I'm like, oh, dude, just don't open the door.
Yeah, but you knew he would. Because you knew.
But I knew he would.
You knew he would. And so, like this, and in some ways, not entirely, and not literally, I suppose I should say, but in some ways, we knew this is where the season was headed from the first episode.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the setup. And if the setup takes half a season, okay. But
by the way, I didn't know if it was headed exactly there.
Well, right, that's what I mean. Not exactly there, but yeah. But like broadly there. And again, like if you and I had sat down 3 weeks ago and been like, all right, how is this likely to play out over the final three episodes? We could have, like, one of our top five scenarios would have been the exact way it played out.
Maybe. To me, this felt like a, you know, at least a true to the character a version of her sexual awakening.
Yeah. But
and
but
I think true to the character of her son.
Yes.
Of, like, you know.
And
life,
here's what so
life
here's,
was harder for him than he, you know what I mean? Like he was like that advisor said, like sometimes people are just not ready. You know what I mean? For college or life or whatever, but it wasn't
okay,
like
what
some trait ending where he's like, I'm going to be a better guy now. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but you,
it's just
I like,
getting
I kinda,
smacked in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. His end point was more satisfying than hers to me. Like I don't know. I mean, I like to me again. It's just her in the really the first step of a sexual awakening that may or may not continue, and him striking out in his first at bat at college, and like I don't know.
It's like his awakening is almost like because I didn't think he was a guy with shitty intentions.
No.
So his awakening was just that he's a shitty guy. He didn't mean to be, but he's kind of a shitty guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
well, but to me that's a weird end point, isn't it? I figured out I'm a shitty guy, not like I figured out I'm a shitty guy and now what?
Yeah, but I kind of like that ending of like okay well now what? I don't know. I was like, all right. I when it ended, I was happy and I was like, I'm good. I felt good.
Okay.
Not like, you know, not like I feel good, but
right.
It felt complete to me.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. For me, it was abrupt or not abrupt. Cause again, I like you see it coming, but it was, maybe it was just unsatisfying because it felt like such a logical endpoint. I don't know. I'm not sure quite what I'm feeling, but I was unsatisfied.
Okay. It's ironic.
Yes, it is. I was not the only one.
One of us got what we wanted, the other one didn't. But did you like the show overall? Whether you know whether they make more or not?
I think I did. I mean, I liked a lot of the show. I thought the show looked at some really interesting things, and I thought it was pretty true to those things, which is perhaps why I might have wanted to see them teased out a little bit more.
Yeah, the whole thing felt very Tom Parada to me.
No. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Like it was more, it was a little more thoughtful or something.
Yeah. But it had that sort of suburban ennui that I think we've experienced in other adaptations of his work. Are you, you want to talk challenge?
Do I want to talk challenge?
Because I got some thoughts now that we have wrapped up this season.
So what I want to know is this. Let's start here. What was your favorite moment of this final episode? And clearly we're going to have to spoil the results.
Oh, man. That's a hard question.
It's a really hard question.
Because there's really a lot of great moments.
Yeah.
I mean, the look on anyone's face upon walking upon that pit of snakes was way up there for me.
CT's eyes. CT was the first one there. And his eyes did a thing. He has very expressive and beautiful eyes. It's one of my observations from watching many, many seasons of The Challenge over the last month. But they did a thing I've never seen before. Like, it was a mix of shock and terror.
Yeah, yeah.
That was incredible. My favorite moment.
Was it somebody crying? Because there were a lot of really different great moments of people crying.
No, those were great. The crying that hit me was crying like I'd feel bad saying was a favorite moment.
Was it Carl Maria on the boat?
Nah, she stinks. I laugh when she cries. It was Leroy. I just felt terrible.
That was the other moment of like, because that was just genuine. Like,
oh, poor Leroy.
I gave it all, and I got so close, and I've been trying to win this thing forever. And that, you know what that was? That was your team is up 28-3 in the Super Bowl, and they don't get it done.
I'm sorry.
You don't know if you're ever going to be back there. I was like, I recognize that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you were good enough.
Yeah.
You did it. And the thing was, is like, this was maybe his best episode from a competitor standpoint, because Leroy's he's never the flashiest dude. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
he is
his
very
ability
good,
to
though.
Be like strong and steady, like, was so huge for, like, it really kept the U.S. team in the game, really.
Well, that's why, and that is why, my friend, my favorite moment of this episode was near the beginning of the episode, right after they finished their hike, when they were finishing phase one, and it cut to the interview screen. And Leroy just looked dead in the camera and goes, I'm the MVP of the first half of this challenge. And I was like, you're goddamn right you are, Leroy.
Yep.
And then he was like, he like listed off the most obnoxious people on the team. Like, Cara Maria's crying. Paulie died.
By the way,
Ninja's infuriating or something like that. And I was like, man, Leroy, you're right. You poor son of a gun.
Zach had another one of his just classic, like, just I'm just going to take down everybody on the team in like five sentences, like IPMs. That was really great as
He's
well.
He's fantastic. And in my rewatch, I've reached the season where Zach and Nani are rookies.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And it's not a good season, unfortunately, because all of the really great competitors got eliminated early because of it was the battle of the seasons. So, like,
oh, right.
There's all these trash real world seasons with a bunch of morons who don't know what they're doing on it.
Yeah, who aren't serious challenge competitors.
Right. And they all sort of tag teamed Wes at the beginning and kicked his ass right out of the house. And Danny and Melinda were right behind. But Zach has really not changed hardly at all, except, like, the hair that was on his head is now a beard.
Yes. Although Nani, quite a progression for Nani, because Nani was a hurricane in the
yes,
early days.
Yes, she is. I'm a Nani fan.
So now she's like the wizened veteran, which is like,
yeah, she lost it this season too, though, a few times. But back to this finale. So first of all, I mean, did you find yourself having a rooting interest
in this season?
Like, as it came down to it, did you hope one team won versus the other?
I wasn't rooting for teams necessarily as just people. Like, I don't know, like, I guess I was rooting away for teams in the way that millennials root for NBA teams. You know what I mean? We're like, yeah, I was probably rooting for teams, but just because more of the people I liked were on one team, and if they had switched at some point, I would have rooted for the, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like my loyalty to Team UK or Team US. It was definitely just sort of like, well, there's fewer assholes over there on the UK team at the moment, so I'm rolling with you guys.
I just found myself very torn coming down the end because I wanted Leroy to win so bad, and I really like Cam too.
And yeah, Leroy didn't, you know, he's not the kind of guy that would do this, but I honestly think that he would have a legitimate beef to complain about the producers just going out of their way to screw him.
Yes.
I mean, not only him, but certainly him. Like,
Puzzle and Swim, boom.
Yeah, Puzzle and Swim is rough. And yeah. Just the entire, really, like, they kind of went out of their way to use the numbers that they knew the U.S. team would have to their disadvantage in setting up all of these challenges. The extra weight on that gurney, like, was a killer in day one. And then, yeah, Puzzles and Swim, you know what I mean? And just the fact that, like, just doing that purge, another huge disadvantage to a team that had more numbers. Like, they, you know, because I think rightly, they, at some point, I think CT said it, they were, what, like 3-13 or something like that?
Yeah, I think 3-11. Yeah, 3-11 in daily challenges.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, I'm sure that they were coming into this thinking, like, well, we got to do something to make this an interesting final. And they did.
Well, but they should have known better. Because, and Zach made the point repeatedly as well. Yes, they did dominate. But they dominated more early. And Paulie and Kara slowly, one by one, eliminated a lot of their good players. Yeah. And then they weren't as dominant. And then they chased their two best players to the other team. So, yeah. Like, it's you're not wrong. And it's not Leroy's fault, and I truly feel terrible for Leroy. I mean, it was brutal. Brutal. He's literally crying. He's just like, they cut his ITM at the end was like, I'm sick. And then he just started crying. And I sincerely felt terrible. And almost everyone on this show, I am capable of truly enjoying their pain. And so it's saying something. How bad I felt for Leroy. My wife, I think, I may have shed a tear on Leroy's behalf.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But also, the U.S. team did this to themselves.
Yeah, like, they sure did.
Who's the best? Who were the two best players on Team UK?
Are you talking about from the beginning or the end of the...
In the final.
In the final. Oh, well, that's Jordan and CT, I would say, right?
Exactly. Two guys the Americans should have had on their team.
Yeah, although Jordan was really the one most responsible for CT being a Brit.
Fair enough, but either way. And I don't – not most responsible. Half the team didn't want CT. Which
it was his idea, and there were a lot of people that tried to talk them out of it.
There were a few, but not nearly enough.
But obviously, he had to win a vote. You know what I mean?
Exactly. He had the majority. He carried the majority. Yeah. Like, that's Team USA's fault. And then, in Jordan's defense, even so, Team USA was clearly the better team until Kara and Paulie took them all out.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Which, like, just, I mean, how many times did Zach blow up about it?
I know. So funny. And for Paulie to then collapse, like, and like you said, they had more weight, and they stupidly put the littlest guy with three girls on the gurney until he literally collapsed.
Yeah.
But, come on, man. Like.
Yeah. You have to give Paulie credit, though, for, like, coming back and nailing that puzzle.
Look.
That actually did show me something. I know they sort of, like, Cara Marie really tried to put a nice bow on that, but like
she was ridiculous.
I didn't think he was going to finish. Never mind, like actually like help them.
No, agreed. And Cara Marie is the most ridiculous of all. But
even Paulie yelled at her for freaking out.
I know. He's like, I'm so sick of you freaking out all the time. But still, and you know what? I gotta give Paulie credit for a couple things. First of all, he finished, and he should have died. Second of all. The guy's a good sport.
Yeah.
Like, say what you will about the way he plays the game. When it ended, he has sincere congratulations for the opposing team. He says things in his ITMs that are like, look, man, I gotta be better. They beat us. And so, you know, like, his girlfriend is a nut bar who just flips out and sobs, but like, he's a tough competitor and a good sport, and yet if you're going to dominate the game that way and talk all that mess, you just can't be lying on the ground with your hands above your head in the middle of the final. You just can't. You can't do it, man.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really tough for him to come in and control the game like that next year. But I, you know.
Well, I think that's one of the things I would want to talk about is, like, again, watching these old seasons, they clearly take steps by the way they distribute teams, by sort of the themes of the game, by some of the twists. They're always kind of fighting against the players controlling the game too much.
Yes.
And so I wonder if this was this was like the last time they're able to do the two big teams of organized by country. Because what happens is the real alliances just go across team and sort of muck up the whole game.
Yeah, well, look, there'll be a World of Worlds 3 at some point, but it's not going to be next season. Like, they'll definitely change it up and come back with some sort of whole new concept.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see something more like a partner game or something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, we probably should have looked this up. It wouldn't surprise me if they actually already have whatever that concept is out already, and they're already working on it. I got to say, by quirk, I didn't. My DVR didn't tape this.
Okay, so they do.
Yeah. Oh, it's out. You got it.
The challenge season 35. Wait a second. preliminary information. Oh wow.
Are you on like Reality Steve? I bet he knows.
Hold on. This is just like a Medium website. There's a few different. Few different lists of information. No official announcement yet. It is expected to premiere around February.
Ooh, not too far.
Yeah.
So then they definitely know what it is, right? Because they're if it's premiere around February,
it's
they've
filming
already filmed
or
mostly,
already filmed.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm doing some research. The last 10 competitors have been revealed, and So I guess there's a. Oh wow! So that's interesting. There's like spoiler threads for these things.
Yeah, don't get it spoiled.
Yeah, hold on. Non-spoilers discussion thread. So it is apparently the last part of this trilogy. Oh my goodness. There are some names on this list. Potential cast members, it says. Wow, this goes very deep. This goes very, very deep. But here are some names that are potentially expected to be on the show. CT, Johnny Bananas, Jordan, Rogan, Bear, Wes, Anissa, Ashley, D, Nani, and Tori are all parts of this list. Also Jennifer.
Okay.
And some other ones that we've seen before as well, but those are some of the bigger names that I'm seeing on this list. I don't want to go too deep, though.
Because I wonder if Laurel's coming back.
There's... So it says she is not likely to be there.
Oh, good. Okay.
They've been
tipping her on this,
likely,
on this X on the beach a lot. So
I have seen those previews, and boy, for someone whose aesthetic is sort of I hate all of this stuff. All you people are disgusting. She sure does lean into the reality TV persona thing.
Yeah, sure does. I, you know, I was going to say, so by quirk, my DVR didn't tape the show this week, so I wound up purchasing it on Amazon.
Whoa.
Which I assume that's how you've been watching all these old shows, right? And
yeah, well, now that, so, sort of. I'm in the stretch of them now that there's a monthly MTV, like, old crap subscription you can get via Amazon.
Gotcha.
That makes it, gotcha. I don't have to buy every damn episode.
Oh, like, good for you. But the experience of watching it with not only the commercials, but all the MTV promoing cut out, like,
oh,
what a breath of fresh air that was.
You bang them right out. Yeah.
Just goes right into the next thing. I'm
now
like,
you understand how I've been able to watch, like, 150 episodes of The Challenge in 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, it did make some more sense to me. Okay, before we go, I want to throw out a couple questions for you. And I also wanted to mention, I don't know if you can bet on The Challenge anywhere. Lord knows you should be able to.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you could get Vegas odds, I would have to think the odds that you would have gotten on Rogan being the first one to finish the final would have been,
oh man,
tremendous.
You really could have made some money there.
Yeah, like that is a
I mean, he made the point himself. He was the first Brit ever eliminated, and it happened like midway through a premiere episode.
Yeah, not even midway through a premiere episode, as I recall. I feel like it was like in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, and he was the first one to finish a final. And to be fair, we've talked a lot about the other people and how good or bad they are. The guy was pretty solid all year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a bit of a scaredy cat as it regards eliminations, and I don't think he even – maybe he went in once. But
yeah, and plotting and confrontations and things like that. But
but hey, that's really, you know, like if you <it's> good, excuse me, it's good work if you can get it. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to go into the damn eliminations, and he managed to somehow, against all odds, play a successful political game and a pretty successful athletic game.
I agree. So that kind of brings me to my next question is, who is your season MVP?
It's Jordan, right?
Yeah. I think to me, it comes down to Jordan or CT. And I'll make this case for CT that I really feel like there were a couple of moments where he like really turned the game. You know what I mean? Like throwing that challenge and then, you know, sort of breaking that alliance in the, you know, in the tribunal, like really had this setup that sort of allowed them to be what they would be. And I think he was the best Brit in the final. Now, I'd probably lean Jordan too, but I do think there's a pretty decent CT argument out there.
Yeah, and I goddamn love CT. Like, I've just sort of gone through the redemption of CT.
Yes.
In old seasons. And there's more to come, of course. But the guy is... I mean, okay. First of all, when he came on the show, thank God he was a lunatic, because otherwise he would have run it right off TV. He was like way too good. Like literally none of these guys had anything for him in any competition. Like I was just talking to the wife about how there are some guys like Johnny Bananas, and I think Jordan is like this too, who like, not the best athlete in the world, not in the best shape of anyone in the house, not the smartest guy, but somehow, in the same way that like LeBron James was just born to play basketball, they're born for these things.
Yeah.
They just like, I don't know what Johnny Banana's specific skills are other than that he's great at the challenge. Like great at it,
yeah.
Like in a weird, staggering way. Like they're doing challenges where you jump in a bathtub of honey run across a balance beam 30 feet over the water and then have someone wipe that honey into a jug. And he's like consistently better at these wacky things than everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
it's hard.
So that is a thing. And there's some guys and some girls. Camilla, this little Brazilian woman on the old episodes, is like this. Like, she's
oh
little,
yeah, Camilla's amazing.
And she's a complete psychopath, but she's just great at challenges, right?
Yeah. And you know, and it's funny, like, you know, when they did the you know, the pros versus champs shows, yeah, which are not as good, but it does give you some perspective, because like they compete against actual world class athletes and like kind of destroy them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's not really a test of pure athleticism. But my point in saying all this was, somehow CT is the LeBron James. Because
I also say, much like LeBron, as his athleticism has dimmed somewhat, his wisdom and experience, I think, have grown over time to compensate for that.
Well, right, you know? Because that's the thing. In the early episodes, though, he is both just by far the most incredible athlete they have on the show, and really talented at these weird games. Like, and he just, like, he comes on a couple shows and just hammers every challenge, and if he ever gets sent into an elimination, just embarrasses somebody.
Yeah,
over and over again. Like,
and then he just got, they stopped sending him into eliminations, because no one wanted to face him. Right?
And, yeah. or they send him in some cockamamie scheme and get obliterated, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so luckily he got himself thrown off a few seasons by being a nut, but like, chilled out adult dad bod CT is just so lovable. I mean, he's just a big teddy bear. When he talks about his son, you're just like, aw.
Have you gotten to any of like the CT DM arc stuff?
Oh man, I'm in it. I'm deep in it, and I know what happens, and I'm terrified and sad.
Yeah, it's all, you know.
And that's another reason this is an annoying season that I'm in the middle of right now, is like, they're not in it, and I'm like, all right, I don't care about these people.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Now, when you watch the old seasons, do they include the reunions?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And right, they so also you were, they also include sometimes the shit they should have shown.
Yeah, the shit they should have shown is often pretty great.
Yeah,
it does live up to its name.
Yes.
So you're in for the reunion next week, then. You're ready to go for that.
Well, of course. And in this case, like, there is so much to play out. I mean, there were so... This was a pretty rife season for dramatic irony. In other words, like, dramatic irony is when the audience knows things that the characters don't.
Right.
Usually in fiction. But in this case, it's because they're lying to each other and telling the truth on TV. So there's, like, a lot of stuff that I'm sure, when people saw it on TV, they were like, what the f... So, that makes for a good reunion.
Oh, man, poor D. D has hurt some things. She's not going to be able to handle very
well. Oh, my God. Rough time for D. Rogan...
Yeah.
Rogan just stared into the camera and, like, defrauded her. It was something.
Quite something. And then, like, I mean, even in this episode, like, Zach, it's... in that way where it's like hard to tell if he's being serious or not, but it kind of sounded like he was. Like, literally, he was like, he called Ninja like the worst person in the entire world.
Yes.
And then they're going to serious scenes together, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He has a twinkle in his eye, but I don't think he's kidding. You know?
No, it didn't. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You're like, I mean, okay, you're like, maybe you're taking a little bit, but like, you kind of mean what you're saying right now.
Yes, like, he knows it's a little over the top, and he knows what he's doing, but he really thinks she's awful. And I got to tell you, if you made this a binary choice for me, I am 100% with Zach. She is some kind of annoying. I mean, she even. That right after he was, like, the worst person in the world, you know, she, like, finishes the puzzle and starts giggle running down the hill, and it's just like, oh, my God, I want to kick you in your face.
Like, I don't find her quite so annoying. She's just kind of a nothing. She's sort of just a walking set of incredible abs. That's kind of it.
She's an impressive little athlete, but she really is ill-suited for a lot of the team challenges. And he's right. Like, he's right that she is killing them. And then, in the same way that it feels like a real screw job to Leroy, it felt like a gift to Ninja, the way they ended it.
Agreed.
Although, like I said, she gets nothing.
Leroy's got legit beef, you know what I mean?
Yeah, although Ninja gets nothing, so it's okay.
Yeah. By the way, Tori, like, it was hard to feel too bad for Tori, and I'm like, you're just going to get this money anyway, it's fine. Even she was like that.
I mean, half as much, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, indeed. All right. With that, I feel like we're at a good place to wrap. And then next week, we are going to talk about our favorite stuff from this year, right?
Yes. Correct.
And The Watchmen is ending as well. We'll probably check in on that.
Definitely going to talk Watchmen. Just in 15 seconds, a lot of what we said when we talked about this once or twice in the early parts of the season was this is intriguing and we don't really know what's going on, but we're pretty much here for it. And we know a little more about what's going on. There's still an awful lot of questions, but I have to say, like, I've never been so happy to be so confused.
Yeah. The last two episodes, I think, have been the best two episodes, like, pretty far and away.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to Damon Lindelof on The Watch today, which is a pod I would recommend if you're into the show at all. And, you know, I mean, he's pretty famously still, you know, the Lost thing got to him a little bit. And for him, you know, he's like, you know, now that it's out there in the world, I feel like a lot of relief, but there's still this anxiety of, I know that for a lot of people, I need to stick the landing. And so knowing that his mind is on that, I just have a feeling that, you know, the show's going to go all out to deliver you something in this last episode. Also knowing that they, you know, that there's a lot of talk that they're not going to make any more of this either.
Really?
So,
wow.
Or at least that's how he had envisioned it, you know, as sort of a standalone thing.
Okay. Well, this is there's a lot to do, but I am very excited.
It's getting good ratings, though, so who knows? There seems like there may be some incentive for them to keep going.
I suppose we'll see.
So we'll talk about The Watchmen some, and a lot of our favorite stuff from this year.
Can't wait. I feel like there was something else, but who knows?
Oh, we didn't touch on Mike Birbiglia. That was funny. Guys can tell a joke.
Mike Birbiglia is really good. Just watch it. What else are we going to say? I mean, he was really funny. It was all about family and having kids, and I loved it. It hit home. He's very funny. He's a great storyteller. Great job, Birbigs.
Yeah. Good job by you, Birbigs.
And with that, bye!
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor, have yourself a tremendous evening.